Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Del for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. And what a night. What a great night. Texas was the place to be, okay, for the greatest pitching matchup ever that turned into a 20-run game. And then a New York invasion in San Antonio. A lot of Knicks fans in that crowd last night.
A lot.
Of course, it's a lot cheaper to go to San Antonio, fly there, get a hotel, and go to that game than it is to go to Madison Square Garden when you're sleeping at home. It was cheaper to do that than get a ticket for Game 3 at Madison Square Garden. I'm positive that that's the case because it is crazy, the ticket prices in New York right now. But, man, 12 games, 12 straight games for the Knicks that they've won. This is the greatest 12-game run in NBA history, playoffs or regular season, or both combined. They've beaten their opponents by 272 points, which is the more than anybody in a 12-game span ever. And this team is real. This is going to be, I think it's going to be a fun series, unless this Knicks team is just way too much. But, you know, Wemby put up 26?
Six of 21 shooting? Yeah, shot 30%.
Yeah. I mean, holy crap. He did that in one of the games against Oklahoma City, too, though. He was clapping after the game. This is going to be an interesting series. You know, the celebration after beating Oklahoma City must have pissed. I would imagine it pissed the Knicks off just a little bit, you know, crying and look at us and we did it and, you know, really? Is it over? Is this over? Because it ain't. That Knicks team is gritty and gutty, and this is going to be a fun series.
Yeah, it is. And Jalen Brunson, you know, he didn't have the best game, but he was 12 of 31. But in the fourth quarter, he was money. And really, the Knicks, so I pointed out, I read some stats yesterday about this matchup. Let me see if I can pull them up right now. One of the advantages that the Knicks have, their fourth quarter net rating throughout the season is number one, plus 11.7 in the NBA. Their clutch net rating, they are third in the NBA for the entirety of the year. In the fourth quarter, they simply simply outscore and outperform on a regular basis everybody they play. And that's been the case throughout the playoffs. Throughout their 12-game win streak, they have had games where they dominated in the fourth quarter. And that's what happened yesterday. They beat the Spurs by 10 in the fourth quarter. It was a crazy game. You had the Spurs, you know, I thought this was going to be a low-scoring game. It was 218 and a half, then it went down to 217 yesterday was a total. And so that still felt way too high to me. Way too high because, you know, I mean, these two teams, this is NBA playoff. It's NBA finals. You're going to have a lot more defense, but also Wemby didn't shoot well. You had Brunson who there may have been some rust with the Knicks, but the last three quarters they played 29, 28, 29. I mean, if they had rust, it was in the first quarter and that was about it because offensively they played much better after that, but there was a time when they're down 14. In the second quarter, they were down 14 at one point. Or no, that was a second or third. And then they came back from that. Then they had an 8-point lead. Then the game got closed again to, I don't think it was ever tied in the fourth quarter. I think they got it down to the Piston, or rather the Spurs got it down to two. Wemby had a three. He had some free throws. He was trying to bring him back, but ultimately it was just too much Jalen Brunson.
Spurs took the lead.
Spurs had the lead when Brunson hit the three in the corner.
The Spurs had the lead.
95-94.
Yeah, that's right. So he did come back.
He tipped it out and then hit the three in the corner.
You're right.
Made it 97-95.
Yeah, that's right. Because no one else from the Knicks could hit at all.
Yeah.
And then Brunson got that open look, and you just knew it was falling down. And once it did, the Knicks held on to the lead from that point forward. But it was, what a performance by the Knicks in terms of rebounding. The Knicks got on the board. Josh Hart was just a monster yesterday. 15 rebounds for Josh Hart. 15 rebounds and 6 assists. He was not the scoring factor. He was a keep the ball alive. He was a prevent, the Spurs from getting second shots factor. Like, Josh Hart had one of those games where they'll look back at this game as a huge, historically for Knicks fans, if they win the championship, as this was, kind of a Josh Hart game.
Well,
because he did everything that they needed.
Well, it was historic. Fewest points in a finals game while putting up 15-plus rebounds and 6-plus assists.
Right.
Josh Hart.
He only shot five
last
times.
Last night did that. Bill Russell in 59, game one. Bill Russell in game seven of 69. Bill Russell in 59, game three. Bill Russell, 64, game two. Bill Russell, 69, game two. It's he and Bill Russell are the only two guys that do that.
Yeah, and all he did was, that's all he was doing. He wasn't trying to shoot. He had 5 shots the whole game.
Yeah.
Played 27 minutes and had 15 rebounds.
I could see if he was like some big dude, and he's
all over the place. Yeah. He's 6'6", but, he played 27 minutes and had 15 rebounds. That is a 6 assists. That is a crazy amount. So he was, the Knicks shot 31% from three yesterday, 41% from the field. The Spurs shot 26% from three. I don't think they were ready for what the Knicks were doing. I didn't see anything unusual. Obviously, Mike Brown deserves a lot of credit. Karl-Anthony Towns did a nice job. He did a nice job on Wemby. I would expect some things to change next game. I think the Spurs come out and give you a good game. I still think it's going to be close. The Knicks just may be a team of destiny here because they're so good in the fourth quarter. And Jalen Brunson is just so clutch. And maybe it's just not time for Wemby and the Spurs. Maybe they're just too young to win this. Because there are some veterans. Did you see the stat that at the end of the game they had that this is crazy to me. Jalen Brunson is second in New York Knicks history with 25-point playoff games with 38. Ewing is the all-time leader with 43. Ewing played there forever. Brunson's been playing there since 2022. He's been playing there since 2022, and Jalen Brunson has 38 playoff games with 25 points or more. That's insane.
Yeah, and the third Knick with a 30-point game, I forget what the number was. He's only the third Knick. Willis Reed and who was the other one had 30 in a game one. I don't know.
Bernard King.
But this is real. We're watching something this is not normal for a guy his size. And I will see if she's right.
Becky Hammon.
or Jalen Brunson is just otherworldly. Did you see the piece on him and his dad when he was a kid?
I didn't see the piece, but I watched all that online. Like over the last 3 years, they've been showing it, and it's incredible.
Yeah,
when they're out on the playground.
On the playground,
yeah.
His dad was relentless with him.
Do it again.
He was so tired, and his dad was pushing him,
yeah,
and make him make shot, and push him, and now look. It just seems like he's just throwing that up. And it just goes every time. It's amazing his ability to score against bigger players. But this was all by design by his dad.
Yeah.
His dad did something that I know that kid probably, but you could tell on his face You know, he's like, oh, really? You know, oh my God, this is, and I'm beat, and he just is a perfectionist, and it's too much. And yet now look at him.
Yeah.
When he hit that shot in the corner, I was like, holy crap. This guy, there is no, he's ice. He's got ice in his veins. It doesn't matter what, when it is in this game, he is going to make that shot.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Just like you said, he was, all that training from his youth prepared him mentally for everything that you see in the fourth quarter, all the clutch. And then what was crazy is after the game was over, he talked to who had the sideline reporter? It was Lisa Salters. I think it was Lisa Salters. Talked to her on the sideline. And he's walking back. Like, he is so stoic. He doesn't show you. There is no excitement. No this. It's like so workmanlike. He's got a job to do. And I think it all goes back to Rick Brunson. I mean, I really do. I think it all goes back to his dad, Rick Brunson, who was for a short time a Jeff Van Gundy Houston Rocket. But Rick Brunson, who is, you know, who has been a point guard, who was lesser talented than his son, who played. He was one of those dads who understood what it took because he had gone through it and he knew, all right, this is what I got to do for my son early on. And he did it and his son bought in. But like you said, you could see the frustration, the fatigue and all that in that video. If you get a chance to watch it on YouTube somewhere, you really should. But then you look at him now and you realize he's just, he was bred this way. He was not born and bred, but what's the phrase? I mean, he was designed for this. And he just happened to have enough talent, too, to go with it. But the mental was trained early on. And so the mental is already there. Playoffs. His first time in the playoffs with the Knicks was 2023. That's the first time. In his first series, his point totals look like this. 27, 20, 21, 29, 23. Then the next series against Miami, it was 25, 30, 20, 32, 38, 41. And then they got eliminated. Then the next year, he was in the first series against the Philadelphia 76ers in 24. He was 22 points, 24, 39, 47, 40, 41. You hear what I just said? 39, 47, 40, 41 was a four-game run he had against the Knicks then. And I'm sorry, against Philadelphia. Then they went on to Indiana. You remember this? They went to Indiana went to the finals that year. But he had 43, 29, 26, 18, 44, 31. Like, this is insane. Then you go to last year, the first round of the playoffs against Detroit, 34, 37, 30, 32, 16, 40. These numbers sound like Olajuwon.
Yeah.
Like these numbers, and that's why I had to go look at this year because 38 games of 25 or more points in the playoffs? The dude's barely been there.
Yeah.
He's barely been at New York, and he's done this much?
It's what he does.
It's what he does. He's got 30 to start this one. In the last sweep against Cleveland, he had a 38 and a 30. Then when he swept Philadelphia, he had a 35, a 26, and a 33. You know, these are games over 25. And then, a 39, a 26, a 29, a 28 against Atlanta. Remember, they lost the first two games against Atlanta, and Knicks fans were flipping out. I was sitting next to one of them at the NFL Draft Center with Mike Yam, who's a big Knicks fan, and I was sitting in there with Bucky Brooks. We were calling day two or day three of the NBA draft, and they were and they lost again. And they won the first game, they lost the second, and then they lost the third, and they were down 2-1. And Knicks fan, I mean, he was like, I can't believe we had this kind of season and we're going to go out to the Atlanta Hawks. Well, or you're going to be in line to win an NBA championship. But we'll see how it plays out. And there was that kind of excellence. And then there was the excellence on the mound of Paul Skeens versus Spencer Arrighetti.
Yep.
The pitching.
It was the pitching matchup we thought it would be.
Well, that everyone was looking
different.
For.
Let's hear from Arrighetti on the other side. He was not happy with himself in the way he pitched. We'll do that when we come back. What a comeback, though, by this offense. And what a game. That was one of the most fun games that we've seen the Astros this year. So we'll talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, though, we got HR&P to talk about. We got it. We're going to say there's going to be a bad word said. Not a really, really bad word. You know, it's a
but,
bad word.
Are you going to say but?
Lance says it all the time.
But,
shut up, you dumbass. You know, he says that all the time. And HR, you know, is probably talked to him about it. But if you don't have HR, you don't have an HR department. Well, you got to have an HR department. Your HR department takes care of business for your people, okay? And you know what? It's an expense that you really don't need. Well, how about HR&P takes care of that for you? How about HR&P with their technology, which is second to none, takes care of your payroll for you, takes care of your taxes for you? Otherwise, you need accountants, you need HR people, you need a whole department where you're paying all of those people and not doing it as well. That's the key to this whole thing. You don't do it as well as HR&P does because that's their business. You're not in that business. Do what you do. Let HR&P do what it does. Takes care of you, your payroll, your HR. And, oh, well, it's going to be expensive. No, it's a lot cheaper than you doing it yourself. So find out. It doesn't cost you a dime to find out. HR&P will come and give you an evaluation of your business and what they can do for you absolutely free. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, I am a bigger man than Lance. I can admit when I'm wrong, okay? And I'm going to apologize to little Nick Allen, who I was not thrilled with the acquisition. I was very disappointed. Dude is a career Mendoza hitter. He is a scrappy little guy, and if not for Nick Allen, the Astros lose that game last night.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it because you called him, and I quote, a sucker-ass chump.
No, I didn't. I said nothing.
2 months ago, you said that, and I quote.
I said nothing of the sort. I don't use ugly words on the show like you do. You just, you know, flippantly throw ugly words around.
I said the A word again.
I don't do such
things. I said it as a quote. It counts differently.
Well, if you say, and I quote, then yeah. Okay, you can say whatever you want, apparently.
Yeah, well, if it's a quote, sure.
If it's a quote, yeah. If it's a quote. Nick Allen started with two outs in the eighth inning. Nobody on. Hit one off the screen in left center. And then it was on. And then it was a Vasquez double. Mm-hmm. Then it was a Jeremy Pena. What did Jeremy do? I forget. He got a hit. Jordan with the shot up the... Or did Pena walk? I forget which one. Jordan with a line shot base hit to center. Christian Walker with a nub that he beats out. Paredes with the walk that tied the game on a wild pitch. And then Cam Smith goes the other way with the game winner. Down 9-5 with two outs in the eighth and nobody on. The Astros put up a six spot. And that's just clutch, and that's just good, clean fun for the whole family. It was two outs, Nick Allen at the plate in the eighth inning. It was bleak. It was bleak. And yet it was a joyous, joyous occasion for the hometown nine as the Astros went at 11-9. Spencer Arrighetti, four innings, gave up a grand slam. It was interesting. He didn't come out for the fifth. He put in Santa in the fifth inning. I was like, oh, please don't tell me dude is
right,
hurt.
Right.
I mean, he did throw 83 pitches in those four innings. He was working. Until that, you know, he was fine. He was throwing a lot of pitches. Just three strikeouts, one walk,
yeah.
But he gave up the four earned runs on the grand slam.
It wasn't his A game.
It was not his A game.
He and Skeens did not show up their A games. This got to be a little bit of a concern for the Pirates, but we'll get to that in a second. But so your guy Spencer Arrighetti, he had some comments. You said he was not too happy with himself.
Yeah.
Do we want to throw that to Dell?
That's what I was. Yeah. I thought
Dell.
We were throwing.
Dell, that was it. He was none too happy with himself. Right, Dell.
Pass. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I felt great going into the fourth inning. Obviously, bloop single, walk, hit by pitch, like, kind of how it gets away from you. I thought I had struck Triolo out. I was, when he challenged the curveball, I thought I was for sure out of the inning before any damage had happened. It's tough. I say it every time I'm in here, that box is really small. I feel like I made some really good pitches, and it didn't fall my way. And then I should probably know myself a little better than to throw 5 fastballs in a row to anybody. It's not really my game. I think that, again, retrospect's 2020. In the moment, I fully believed it was going to work. Obviously, Henry took a good swing. He's in the big leagues for a reason. I don't know. It's not really much to reflect on after that. Obviously, I don't want to hit somebody in the calf with a two-seam. I mean, I don't want to walk anybody ever, but I feel like I had been in control up until that point, so it just kind of got away from me quickly. Obviously, got stuff to work on still. I say that even after the good games, but after these ones especially. That's really all I got.
The hit by pitch was, it hit him in the back of his leg.
Right.
That's how bad that pitch was. And then, yeah, Henry Davis is a 143 hitter. After the game, he's a 143 hitter. He's not good.
Did you see his little bat flip and he flips it forward towards the bat, goes out about 9 feet in front of the plate towards the pitcher's mound.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jesus, 143, relax.
He was strutting down. But now, listen, I don't know that you can hit a ball harder than he hit that ball.
Oh, he crushed it.
It went over. It's over the train tracks.
Yeah, he train tracked it.
Yeah.
We've seen our fair share of train tracks.
He
got a good shot on it.
Yeah, he put some wood on it.
And then we had Paredes, but our guy got his gap wedge out, his alien wedge, and just took one, picked it off the ground, and dropped it, deposited it into the Crawford boxes. So
good.
Had a little get back.
Good on us.
It was only a home run. It's kind of weird. Only three. You know, the Astros, when they score a lot of runs, there's typically some home runs that are added in there. Yordan's usually one of those guys. But the Astros had one home run in an 11-run game, and the Pirates had 2 with their 9. So only 3 home runs in a 20-run game. A little bit unusual there. But you did have some. It was a little bit piddly here and there. The infield hits, the triples, down the line for Cam Smith. I mean, it's not like there were just rocket shots all over the place yesterday.
No, but the 17 runs that the Pirates have scored, 14 of them came on homers. They've just been, and every single one of them had guys on. So
that's
they were taking advantage. They're taking advantage of
the but the walks and the hit by pitches. Yeah. I mean, he was right. Sprint Cherichetti was his own worst enemy there.
Pass.
That's how it can get. What was that?
Pass.
Did he say ass?
Yes, ass. Ass to describe his performance.
Oh, I didn't hear that at the beginning. I couldn't
understand.
So play that again, Del. Was the question in there?
No, the question isn't part of the audio, but he was asked, and he goes, well, this is how he started.
Ass.
How did you think you performed?
Ass.
Ass.
Ass. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I felt great.
No, you're okay on the first one. We've seen much worse with the Astros. His ERA is still below 2, by the way. But, how would you feel right now if you're
He won pitcher of the month yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, he was. Oh, who won it for the National League? Who ended up winning
it? It was Sanchez, no runs. Sanchez
won
beat Mazeroski up.
Man, 2 of the great performances we've seen in a month.
Unbelievable
duel there.
Which you give up 0 runs, you have to win it. Mazeroski gave up 1. Be better.
Be better indeed. Paul Skenes, last 5 starts, I think they had something on Baseball Network here. I didn't see what the ERA was. I think it's in the 5. How about this? If you're the last 4 starts, They've lost every Paul Skeen start the Pirates have. 11-9, 7-2, 5-2, 6-0. He has thrown 20 innings, given up 26 hits, given up 13 earned runs, two home runs. He's got now, 26 strikeouts, which is one per inning, which is fine. It's not like incredible. No, it's fine.
That's not him, though.
Yeah,
he's
should
an
be
11 or 12.
That. And then five walks. But this has been four consecutive games where he just has not been himself. And you have to wonder if Livy Dunn is ruining his career right now. That's the thing that comes to my mind. Is feels like another Andre Agassi moment here. Feels like another Tiger Woods. Feels like, we've seen this before.
Don't put Tiger on him.
We've seen this before. Tiger's a little different situation, slightly different. He had won several majors.
Has he got pancakes all over his
stuff? I don't know. Ask him. Go to the park and ask him.
Goodness.
I don't know.
What would you suggest Paul Skeens do?
Break up with Livy Dunn. It's the only thing you can do.
That's what you suggest.
Well, how are you going to get, and then go to the Slump Buster? What are you going to do? I want him cheating on her. So break up with her.
So break up with her and then.
Break up with her and get to somewhere off Washington Avenue.
Wow.
And just do something. Do things. Hmm. Not during our series. Like, you can do it during our series, but he's a National League. I don't care. He can be dominant. I don't care. I'm not worried about him. We've already wrecked his whole life, basically.
Well.
Made him. I'm assuming the Astros have made him consider his choice. Livy Dunn, for those who don't know, is a former LSU gymnast who's now more of an influencer. And certain shots
she's
are influential.
She's an actor now, too. She's in the new Baywatch TV series that's coming.
Oh, she is?
Yes.
Is she?
Okay.
Yes.
Well, there's certain shots on her Instagram that are influential. I'll say that.
Okay.
She just gets to wear a bikini then, that's it?
Well, yeah. The iconic red suit.
It's a job.
Baywatch, yes.
It's a job.
Baywatch is a show now?
Yeah.
It's coming back, yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It pays the bills.
She will be in that show.
Do we run out of things to do?
Well, we always revert back to things.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Have we run out of things to do as he's watching the 100 millionth Spider-Man with Spider-Noir? With Nick Cage.
Well, that's Dell.
Have we run out of things? I don't know. You tell me.
Well, we've never had a Spider-Noir series, so it's new.
But we have,
actually.
I think we've had Spider-Pig. We've had Spider-Desk. We've had Spider-Lamp.
And we've had everything. Multiple procedural TV shows, SVU, FBI.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things going on in the justice system.
I bet.
Yeah, but the only good is Law and Order. That's the only
good
one.
And we have
several different types of Law and Order.
Yeah, but the only good one
if Law and
Jack,
Order's ice cream, then
Jack
you've got...
Jack McCoy, that's it.
You've got the mint chocolate chip, you've got cookies and cream, you've got strawberry,
The original, you had SVU, you've got Criminal Intent. Yeah, you've got plenty. Dick Wolf is making his FBI stuff. Now he's got a CIA show.
Hey. Well, it's the same as he started it. Taylor Sheridan's going to end it because anything you can make. Yeah. He started off with Yellowstone, and now he's got Dutton Ranch. He's got the Inspectors or whatever. With
1893. Yeah, he's got 1727.
He's got Lioness.
What's that?
The show is Zoe Saldana.
Zoe.
Wait, that's his show?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have thought that's a little different genre. It's a different flavor of ice cream. That's flan.
Yep.
It's not ice cream. That's just a flan.
All right, let's break. And 713-780-3776 is the number. If you want to get in here, talk about your Astros or the basketball game. Nice. We are right now, though. We're going to talk about, where to watch it? Taqueria Surrounders.
Yeah, Taqueria Surrounders. I'm super excited. Hey, listen, all of your World Cup games... If you're looking to watch the World Cup, why don't you head to Taqueria Surrounders because you can get great food there at a variety of locations. It is going to be on at their bars, and you want to be able – they're at their bars and their sports bars. The sports bar basically is bars that are separated inside the restaurants, and they have quite a few of them. But it is going to be a great spot to go grab your tacos, grab your margaritas, grab your beer. You get some great food, great ambiance and atmospheres. There are going to be a lot of people in there watching soccer. So if you are looking to watch World Cup matches, you're going to be able to see all the World Cup matches in there. Anything that's on TV, they're going to have it. at their locations. And then you got food and beverage and fun at every single location. Stop in. And you can always go in for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, anytime you want. But for World Cup, I highly recommend you stop in and enjoy yourself. Enjoy the food and beverage, but enjoy the atmosphere and the fun as well for all the World Cup matches throughout. Locations all over the city of Houston. Find one near you at TaqueriaSarandas.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Please stand by.
John and Lance, weekday mornings from 7 to 10.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. Astros win 11-9 last night. Knicks win it by 10. That under hit, 105-95 was the final. And the Knicks on the greatest 12-game run in NBA history. And this is playoffs. Not like they're playing a bunch of slappies. This is the playoffs. And they beat a really, really good team last night. It's got to be a little scary. A little scary for San Antonio losing that first game. A lot of people said, many people said before or when they were playing Oklahoma City, that was the NBA Finals. But the Knicks have other things on their mind.
Wimby not concerned after the game, said, hey, I don't even have to play good. If I just play normal, we're going to be fine. Not concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's not overly impressed by what the Knicks are up to. Said, hey, I ain't got to be that great. We just got to play normal. We're good.
Yep. I agree somewhat. They still got to overcome a guy who is as clutch in the fourth quarter as anybody we've seen in forever. I mean, Jalen Brunson is just ridiculously good in the fourth quarter. So they're going to have to overcome that. That dude just make it doesn't matter who you put on him. It just doesn't matter. Now, Wemby changes everybody's shots. He there's a reason they only scored 105. But there's also a reason they only scored 95, the Spurs. Is because the Knicks clamped down now.
To this day, that seemed like such free money yesterday. I can't believe the over-under was that high for an NBA playoff game.
218
against yeah. Well, it went down. It was started at 218.5, and it went down to 217 because obviously the Sharps saw it too. It just seemed crazy. I thought it should be 211. 211.5. I mean, this is an NBA finals game with two teams that are able to play some defense, that are well-coached. That just seemed like a really high number. Not that, you know, that's a handicapping gambling type thing, but it's just the concept of the flow of the game, the expected pace of the game, and this is going to be a grimy game. There's players for the Spurs who can defend multiple positions. I actually thought Champagne was doing a really good job on making Brunson earn every shot there in the fourth quarter. Like, he wasn't going for fakes. Brunson just found makes. He just found some makes, man. That's just what he did.
That's what he does. Doesn't matter who you put on him. I mean, Castle was out top on him. I mean, it doesn't matter. That dude is going to find a way to score.
Yeah, and it's
he's got such a variety of moves. He's got the step back. He's got a fadeaway. He'll drive past you and just one-handed. He just is. That's amazing.
You know, it's not that, you know, it's funny because it's not that I think his moves are, he has all those moves. There's nothing special about it. He just knows how to get to them. He's efficient when he does it with his footwork and everything. And he knows how to piece them together where he will stack this move with this move. And eventually, if he gets there's just no hesitation. He's just extremely decisive, which you have to be at that size. Like, when you create any little opening, you got to get the shot off because you're going against longer defenders. So when it happens, if you hesitate, then they close the distance on you. He doesn't hesitate. He's decisive, and that speaks to his confidence, and that speaks to his upbringing, and it speaks to his training. It just speaks to his level of internal confidence that he has. Like, he's just a highly confident player in person. That's why he doesn't seem to feel pressure. And he didn't in college either, John. I mean, you know, he was on those Nova teams. I mean, he was, you know, there was excellence there as well.
Well,
he's making a lot of people eat their words, by the way. There's a lot of people who doubted him. Yeah, it is Nova North. I'm trying to find his fourth quarter stats. It's funny. It's much harder finding fourth quarter. Like, I've looked at ESPN. I've looked at Basketball Reference. I can't find splits. I'm looking for fourth quarter splits. I don't know why it's – let me check NBA.com and see if I can find that, because I'm curious to see. I would love to see what his splits are in the fourth quarter of playoff games. I would love to see what that is.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in with us here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. The number to hang with us here. So, Spencer Arrighetti loses to Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens, you're done.
No, he didn't lose to Paul Skeens.
Well, I'm sorry. He's out of the game first. They won the game. My bad. 11-9, the Astros win it. Arrighetti was out after four innings, though. Paul Skeens was a little bit better, but Paul Skeens, yesterday after Jordan leads the league in homers. Jordan leads the league in average. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jordan is, and you know, he went on a, he was not good at the beginning of May. Much of May he wasn't very good, and yet put up, you know, great numbers again. And here we are, a four-hit night last night. Came through in the biggest possible way in that eighth inning. He was a big part of that eighth inning with a shot to the center. The ball just jumping off. You know, Paul Skeens doesn't get to see Jordan too much, right? So Paul Skeens got a close-up look of what Jordan Alvarez is. And here is what Paul Skeens had to say about Jordan after the game. Oh, he's getting ready. Jordan with another four-hit performance. Shots, low shots, not the usual Jordan, sky shots. But I don't think we give enough love. I honestly don't. We've got, I just saw a thing, the three greatest athletes in every city. Our three greatest athletes right
now.
Well,
players or athletes, those are two different things.
Players. Okay. Three greatest players.
Yeah. JJ?
No. Currently on teams.
Oh. Yeah.
R3.
R3 would be, Kevin Durant would be one.
Kevin Durant?
Yeah, Kevin Durant would be one. I would say Jordan's one.
Yep.
And I would say, if we do it with every sport, I would go with, you know, I'm tempted to say Derek Stingley. I know we're all supposed to say Will Anderson. I'm tempted
that's what
to
they
say,
said, Will Anderson.
Yeah, no, I know that's what's supposed to be the answer. Yeah. I'm not sure that's the right answer, though. Stingley might be. Stingley's job is just as hard, if not harder.
Yeah. They had that trio number third best of any trio in any city.
Yeah.
Then L.A. had the most with Luka, Shohei, and Miles Garrett.
Wow.
And then
I don't count. You don't get Miles Garrett yet.
Well, he's on an
never
LA
played
team.
A game. Never played
he's
a game.
He's on an LA team.
I'm not giving him to you.
I'm pretty sure he's on an LA team now.
I'll give you. You're gonna have.
Well, you can have Matt Stafford then.
They got a lot of choices.
Yes.
They got a lot of choices for their baseball and football team. I'll tell you that much.
Right. Yamamoto wasn't on that, so Dell loses again.
Yeah. No, you lose if you don't have
Yamamoto.
I mean,
what a bunch of freak shows. Shohei, Miles Garrett, and...
And Luka,
yeah. Luka's not a physical freak show like the other two are.
No, but...
It's got to be the first time we may see a Cy Young and MVP for the same player right, in MLB history? Has it ever happened?
Yes. One MVP, absolutely.
Who, Babe?
Huh? No. No, I think Justin Verlander won an MVP and a Cy.
I'm sorry, not a Cy. I meant, no. Yeah. Okay, well, what I meant was a hitter, obviously. Yeah, you're right. Pitchers have won the MVP before. I'm thinking of the pitching-hitting combination. MVP as a hitter.
Pitching-hitting combinations do we have?
That's what I'm saying. It's got to be the first. It's gotta be
Babe Ruth and Shohei.
Yeah, he was an MVP, not as a pitcher.
Well, Shohei's not the best hitter in
baseball. He was the MVP as a hitter last year, didn't pitch one single time.
Right.
So that gives you an opportunity to say, but yes, you're right. Pitchers have won MVP before, but I'm just thinking of it as a hitter award since it usually
is. Well, there's only two in history, Babe and Shohei. So that's going to be hard.
You're not counting Ankiel?
No, I'm not counting Ankiel. Okay. I'm not counting Rick Ankiel.
A guy who couldn't throw anymore, so he had to become Wait. Yeah, he couldn't. Yeah, his pitching. He got the yips as a pitcher, right? Yeah, and then had to move to outfield.
So here is. So he doesn't get to see Yordan Bella. When you see him, here's what you think of him.
I mean, he kind of covers everything. He's a smart hitter. So you put those two things together, he's a really good hitter.
You said Alvarez kind of covers the whole plate. What is kind of your plan of attack against a guy like that?
Mix.
That was his one-word answer to his plan of attack. Mix.
Mix.
Who is that?
Well, and that's Paul what Skeen. Spencer Arrighetti.
I thought Skeen sounds beaten like...
He was beaten.
Like Livy is just taking all of my
what is this?
Power out of me. That's what he sounds like.
It's your obsession with breaking them up. You know she's not going to be waiting for you after this, right?
Yeah, I don't care. I don't want her. I don't date influencers. I'm married to somebody who's very influential in my life. Who also doesn't even use her Instagram.
It was pointed out.
She deleted my wife is the anti-Livy Dunn. Deleted her Instagram.
Well, it was pointed out.
The anti-Livy Dunn.
You were listing all these.
Not blonde.
Not a white girl. Your life.
You
like Livy's ruining Paul Skeen's
life. You listed
life.
All these
just
women.
His career.
And it made it sound like you were saying white women ruin lives.
I'm just saying
that's
names out loud.
Someone pointed out all the names you mentioned.
Well, yeah. Probably Art, I would imagine.
No, it was not Art.
Okay.
But still, they see the correlation. They believe you believe that white women ruin lives.
That's why he married his
Nicole. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of. Well, I don't know if I got married in 2002 thinking I got to keep my radio career alive. I better marry a Mexican girl.
What was the race of your first wife?
White girl.
Yeah, and did your life feel ruined at the time?
Yep.
See?
Well, yeah, good point, Dale. Whoever made that point, maybe I made it subconsciously.
Had enough.
My first marriage was with a white woman,
well,
too.
Well, your
too.
Second one is with a white woman, too. And
yeah,
your life
I understand,
ruined.
But half of them ruined my life.
Okay.
Yeah, and she's South Louisiana. They're kind of a different.
Yeah, it's different.
Cajun's that's a different thing.
It's almost a different race.
Not the
she
same.
She says, yes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's different. That's completely different.
That is completely
I don't count
different.
Them.
She ain't right.
She's not garden
Karen,
variety. She's not a garden white. Variety white girl.
Mm-hmm. And Livy's from New Jersey and actually taller than you think, 5'6".
Wait, there's no way. She's really 5'6"?
That's what it
says. Way taller.
She's not one of the littles. 5'6".
No, she's a good-looking girl. She's great at influencing.
Just ruining people's lives, though, you think?
Well, I just look. My whole thing is we've said this. The Astros, we watch them crumble on the road at home but thrive on the road.
What are you
saying? There's wives and girlfriends of all races and ethnicities there last year. And what happened? Our guy... Reagan Swinbank called it out. He's like, they got to get on the road. They're just being beaten down by their families. I don't know.
Interesting.
Sometimes I do my best work when I'm out in L.A. I don't know. I can't explain it.
Wow.
I can't explain it.
Well,
John's never been more surprised. Kids have been out of the house for a while.
You do seem disengaged when you're here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It was interesting. They stayed at our house during, what was it? Was it Harvey? No. Maybe it was the freeze.
Are you talking about us?
Yeah.
Yeah, we stayed there one night, yeah. It was during the...
The freeze?
It was during the freeze. Yeah,
I think it was
during the freeze.
Yeah.
During freeze one.
It was an interesting game night, I can tell you that.
We got into it a little bit. The kids. I don't think me and the wife did, but us
no,
and the
you,
kids.
No. It was
us
the kids.
They were, yeah. They don't really... I mean,
I was
they
like,
don't...
This, Is this dinner time every
they
night?
They are not. You know how you hear about, I'm just, my brother's my best friend. Or me and my sister, you know, you have a boy who says, yeah, me and my sister have been like best friends forever. That's just never going to be said in my house. Not with any sibling and any sibling. None of them. Like, you know, he's really my best friend. I won't. Not waiting for that anytime soon.
We were best friends growing up.
Yeah, we're best friends. We did everything. We're thick as thieves. Said my said my kids never.
Said as he's throwing a pizza in his face, driving into a stop sign.
Yeah, one of them got through one into pizza in the other brother's face, and that other brother, because the other brother grabbed his pizza. He had two pieces. He grabbed it, threw it out the window, and with the one pizza that Sebastian had left, he threw it in Mason's face, and then Mason hit the gas on the car and ran in over a stop sign. Bing, $4,000 worth of damage to the car. Brotherly love.
That's a tight knit.
It was
2 months
ago where I had to run in there and grab Mason and throw him to the ground because he and Sebastian were trying to literally kill each other. My wife's like, Lance, come in here and help. And I already know. Sebastian was going to eventually choke Mason. Eventually it would have happened. Mason had the upper hand, but that's the thing. I think they're both going to go to U of H next year. And we were asked yesterday, are they going to have an apartment together or live in a dorm together? I'm like, no, because they're willing to fight at any time. And if they do, it's going to go poorly for Mason. Because Sebastian can sub out. He can submit skilled grapplers who are much bigger and stronger and more talented than Mason. So at some point it will go really poor. We'll have to go to the hospital. Dad, I accidentally broke Mason's arm. I didn't like. Oh God.
Mason's got the dribble package.
Mason doesn't play basketball anymore. So his dribble package is ass, just like the Eric Getty start.
Eric Getty.
And those are his words. That's Spencer Eric Getty. Like I'll ask Spencer. How is your dribble package looking right now?
Pass.
See? How is Mason's dribble package looking
Pass.
Right now?
There you go.
Mason's a worker now. Mason spends his time working.
Good for him. Good on him.
And kind of going to school.
You know, time to work, brother.
Yeah.
Time to work.
Let him know the bad news. Like, hey, you're kicking in for all your auto insurance next year. So all that money you're spending on you and your girlfriend, you better start socking some of it away because it's coming to me.
Yep. All right, let's break 713-780-3776. You got any kids that want to beat each other, that want to kill each other? Give us a call.
Oh, a board full.
713-780-3776.
I can't be the only one.
I want to hear kids' stories of beating each other's ass. Let's go. we can do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.